All right, ready?
Yeah.
Welcome back, Inebriates. This is Andy, and if it sounds different, that's because this room is very echoey. We are in the midst of moving our office. We never actually got our recording studio set up the way we wanted to, so hopefully in the new place we will. They're tearing our building down. That's a shame, but you're not here to listen to that. Today we're joined by local artist, Nikki Packard. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So I stumbled across you, I think, was it the Plymouth Independent that did an article?
Yeah.
So obviously this isn't your first rodeo. You're a muralist by trade.
It's a recent, it's in the last couple, a little over 2 years. I've always been an artist, but I never did anything on that scale before.
What was the spark that sent you in that direction?
This is going to sound silly, especially coming from someone, a Gen Xer, but TikTok. that's sort of how it got going, but...
Watching TikTok or doing TikTok?
No, watching TikTok.
Okay.
So I like I said, I've always been an artist.
If you're a Gen Xer that can do TikTok, I'm kind of like going to take my hat off. Yes. I still can't figure that shit out.
I can, but it was from watching a couple of young girls. But I've always been an artist. I've always made my living as an artist. But the last 5 years, I've been freelancing for a very wealthy entrepreneur out in California. And it just was... killing me slowly.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of, I produced his podcast and did a lot of copywriting and, you know, it started to turn into like a lot of numbers, and it was just, you know, after 5 years of it, I was just like, I gotta get back to doing something creative.
If you're a creative person and they're like, these are the metrics you have to hit. You're like,
Yes, exactly. KPIs. Yeah. I'm like, what is a KPI? Please. I don't want to have to track stats. And that's what it was turning into, and more sales and sales and sales. And I had been hired to do his graphics and social media, which was fine and creative, but it just sort of went by the wayside.
Yeah.
So I was scrolling through TikTok, and I came across this young girl out in California who was an artist and didn't really want to go into graphic design or... didn't want to be in the corporate environment, and a friend of hers said, you know, I really want a mural on my back fence, so she did it for free, and it exploded and turned into a business. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, her and her girlfriend started doing murals everywhere and, you know, getting paid for it, and I was watching, it just inspired me.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what, I can do that, you know, and not really being, you know, of our generation, I'll figure it out. You know what I mean? It's like, I have Google, you know, I have YouTube, I will figure it out. So
I love that mentality.
Yeah.
The people who are like, I don't understand this, be like, well, figure it out. Like, go do some research.
That's how I've always, in every job I've ever had, it's like, if somebody asks me to do something, I go, yep, I can do that. Even though I have no idea how to do that. And I just figure it out. You know, that's always been instilled in me to figure it out. So I put my name out there, I think on the... Yeah, it was probably the Facebook, the Plymouth, All Things Plymouth Facebook page.
Okay, yeah.
Just put a post out there, and somebody reached out. The guy from Rock Bottom Seafood down in Cedarville.
Okay.
He had just purchased it, and he was redoing it, and he had this massive brick wall on the outside. He's like, I want this, you know, big mural. Can you do it? And he asked me for a quote, and I was like, I have no idea how much I'm going to charge for this. I ended up way undercharging myself, but... I went down there and met with him and looked at the wall. It was a mess. It was like stucco and stuff falling all, you know, falling off of it. And he told me what he wanted. And so I went home and I created a design on my laptop and I don't know, Photoshop, Illustrator, whatever. you know, went back and forth with him, changed this, do that, this. And then it came to the day of painting and I was like, what have I gotten myself into?
Yeah.
I think I probably went home and cried that night. Because I was like, how am I going to do this? I have no idea. I mean, I've painted, you know, large canvases, and I've been painting my whole life, but I was like, how do I figure this out? So it was, you know, I had to get a projector and, like, go at, like, 0:30 in the morning to project it, to get it on the wall, and he had lights on. It was a lot of trial and error, but I figured it out. I ended up... I was scared to death to freehand what I had, because I had a design, you know, and this is what he wanted, and some of the things, just the projector wasn't working out, so I had to freehand a bunch of it, and, you know, it ended up, he loved it, and from there, I just was like, all right, I can do this.
Are you already at the point where you drive by and be like, I want to go back and fix it?
Yes. Every time I drive by, my first thought is, did I really do that?
Yeah.
Like, wow. And then my other thought is, yeah, I want to go back and add stuff or change stuff or touch stuff up. But yeah, so from there, I just, I don't know, I ended up doing another one. It's just kind of been snowballing, not as fast as I would like, but through Facebook. Mm-hmm. Someone else reached out after, because I would post, after it was done, I posted the pictures on All Things Plymouth and on my personal page, and somebody from Cape Cod Community Aviation School reached out, and he wanted an indoor mural, so I ended up doing that one. And again, it was trial and error with, it was a very narrow building, so the projector couldn't go back far enough, so it was...
So then you need like a short throw projector.
And then there was a lot of lettering, hand lettering, so that was a mess. But yeah, after that, I sort of put everything in storage and bought a RV.
Yeah.
And headed out on the road by myself last November. My intention was to... I wanted to hit as many farm animal sanctuaries as possible and do a lot of free murals, and then do paid ones too.
Yeah.
So I did one. I did one for my favorite farm animal sanctuary in New Jersey, Rancho Relaxo. And I did that just, you know, donation.
Mm-hmm.
Did that in 3 days on this massive outdoor wall. And then, you know, was communicating with people like all through, because I was going to go down south to Florida and then, you know, avoiding New England winter, basically. I did that one, and I had a couple other ones, and then... things happened back. We had a death in the family and, you know, illnesses. And so I sold the camper and got back up as quickly as I could at the end of December. And it's just been putting my name out there. And the people just keep reaching out through Facebook. The Three Hearts Farm, I'm doing that one right now. It's a 40-foot outdoor container.
Oh, wow.
It's massive.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. He's got a... Do you know Three Hearts Farm?
Pretty sure I've seen them on, but I don't think I've been there.
Yeah,
but I've seen them on social.
So. Yeah, it's a really cool. He's a nonprofit. For vets.
Oh yeah. They do. They grow lettuce and stuff. Yes, like, yes, I've met them. Like, I know the name. They're in South Plymouth.
Right close to the Pine Hills. Just the nicest people in the world. And like I said, it's a nonprofit. So I mean, it's a paid job, but they're just the kindest people in the world. And from that, somebody else reached out. Some people have been tagging me because some, what do you call it? The Plymouth Lobster Tales was actually made a post on Facebook.
Yeah.
For they wanted a mural on the boat, and a few people tagged me. So I ended up going down and meeting them and working on that one simultaneously because they kind of have a deadline.
Yeah, to get it ready for
the season. To be able to for the
season. Yeah.
So
it's so funny. Like, I hate social media.
I know.
Like, it's so toxic. Mm-hmm. Facebook's the worst.
Oh my god.
And it's the number one thing that drives our business at the same time.
I know. You know? I'm in the same boat. I did it for a living, and I was like, God, I can't stand it. I hate Facebook. I can't stand, you know, you're right. It's completely toxic if you're on the wrong, you know, side of it.
But yeah.
You can train the algorithm to see. I mean, half of my feed is cats and dogs,
and
art, you know.
I love those people who are like, oh, it's nothing but, you know, this political party or that political, and I'm like, yeah, because you followed them and interacted with them.
Exactly.
And it's just something you got to deal with, and like everyone's like, oh, Instagram's, you know, the way to go. It's just different. Like, it's I feel like a lot of our market is on Instagram, but we run a lot of events, and you can't set up events on Instagram like you can on Facebook. So it's
well, Zuckerberg's not a dummy. I mean, he bought Instagram for a reason. Now they're you know, they're intertwined. So you're right. I mean, you have to have a Facebook page if you're going to run events, and you know, that's where everybody is. So it's like, I don't know, the devil, you know, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, every once in a while we get on calls with them about advertising.
Mm.
And I swear either they don't understand my business, because anytime I follow their advice, it makes things worse.
Yeah.
But every call I start with, I just want to say, I hate your company. I'm like, it's not directed at you. I know you don't make the decisions, but God, I hate your company.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we get that a lot.
I bet they do.
To me, murals always were like, and I've done I've actually done more like grocery store windows, mm-hmm. which are not dissimilar.
Yep.
But they were so daunting, and they never came out the way I liked. And it was like transferring it to a drawing onto a, you know, a vertical surface.
Yeah.
I still can't wrap my head around how you do it. Like, I just assume, like, you project it, but then you're like, oh, the projector wasn't really working out. Like,
yeah.
Do you grid it? Like, I don't...
No, I probably should, and, you know, I know that's a way to go, but, again, I don't do math, but, yeah, I probably should grid it out, but I just, that is definitely the hardest part, because I'll come up with a design that I love or that the client loves, and I want it to be exactly that. But I do tell them this is never going to be exactly what it looks like on paper, because things change, you know, like the boat, for instance. It's the boat. First of all,
it's moving.
It moves. Yeah. The last couple of days have been a little, you know, wonky, but the surface is not flat. It's got a couple angles and it wraps around.
Yeah.
So, you know, you design something flat on a piece of paper, and then inevitably the client, you know, the way I designed it, I had part of the design off to the side, and they're like, no, can you move that to the middle? So, inevitably, it's never going to be exactly, you know, how it was on paper, and the color is never going to be exactly the same, you know, mm-hmm. obviously doing my best to match, but I do spend a lot of time just freehanding it and moving things around and, you know, hoping that they still like the design.
I remember I was telling you that I did the lobster sculpture for the lobster tail.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the same thing. You draw it out on a piece of paper, but then you're putting it on a three-dimensional surface.
Yeah.
And I had drawn a lobster trap
uh-huh.
on, like, the lobster tail, and, like, it was concave.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to draw straight lines that look straight on a concave. I was hating life. I'm like, what did I do?
Yeah.
Burn this damn thing down. Yeah, it's not a happy person that day.
No, I know. And then I really get in my head about it, and I mean, I paint with a paintbrush about, I don't know, 4 inches, 5 inches long. Everyone's like, what? How do you? I'm like, I just get so super fussy about it, and like the little tiny little details that no one else is looking at but me. And then, you know, when you stand back and it's a massive, you know, piece of art, or it's a massive wall or something, no one's looking at that little 3-inch, you know, tail or something that I'm obsessing over. But I don't know. I want it to be, you know,
the best. Do you at least start with like a roller or something to kind of like rough in stuff, or
it depends, like with the rock bottom seafood one. I just literally I drew out the waves, you know. I don't even know if I did that with the projector. I think I just freehanded it on there and then rolled it out with a roller. But when it got to the little stuff, the smaller things, I started you know, using a bigger paintbrush and then a smaller one, then a smaller one. And I'm painting the details on this boat, and my paintbrush is literally 4 inches long, and my face is this close to the thing. But I don't know.
Do you?
It works for me.
Because I feel like this would be something I would do. Do you hide little, the general term, I guess, is Easter eggs in them? Like little?
No, I haven't, but that's a good idea. I should do that.
Just little things for you.
A little something, yeah. Huh. I'm definitely going to do that now.
I feel like I wouldn't be able to help myself.
Yeah.
So, you said you were working in art.
Uh-huh.
Was it graphic design? Because then you said you got stuck doing social media. I feel like that's kind of that bridge that people.
Yeah, I started after college in graphic design. Well, I never really worked in graphic design, to be honest with you. I mean, it's somewhat, but I was always in product development.
Okay.
So, I've worked for, my first job was at a company that made magnets and keychains and mugs and souvenirs. So I designed stuff, but it was never actually, you know, print.
Mm-hmm.
It was always on
on a thing.
Yeah, on a thing. Yeah. I did that for a long time. I did children's illustrations. I worked for a company that sold, you know, when you go into Home Goods and they have children's artwork on canvases for kids.
Oh, rooms,
or Target or Walmart.
Yeah.
I would do the paintings, and then they would like mass produce it. And then I worked for the TJX companies, and I did product development and trend for six years, I think. Got to travel the world and go to China and India and Paris and London and Taiwan and Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
But again, got burnt out. It's very, very, very corporate, very structured, very rules. You know, there's no freedom, and I couldn't take it anymore. So at least I was being creative, but it was very corporate. And the travel, as much as it sounds cool to, you know, you go in India again this month or going to, you know, Hong Kong or whatever, it was really rough.
Yeah.
The travel, you know, it's like 15-hour flights one way and then the jet lag, and you're there for 2 weeks and then you get back and you're like, takes you a week to get over the jet lag. Mm-hmm. And
it's like, just, see you in the office Monday, and you're like, are you joking? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it just, and then, you know, you're working. It's not like you get to go out and have fun and see Hong Kong or whatever.
Right,
you know, you're working the whole time, so going to factories and stuff. But it was, I'm very grateful for it. I mean, I got to see my designs come to life. You know, I worked in seasonal for a while, so I got to make snowmen and, you know, ornaments and things like that. And,
oh, that's fun.
Yeah. And then went into home designs, like frames and things like that. All the tchotchke stuff that they sell.
Yeah. Do you ever, like, go through, like, Savers now or something and be like, hey, that's mine.
I've definitely done that. It's very cool. What did I do after that? I left for a while and did, I have this bad habit of, you know, 5 or 6 years at a corporate place, and then I'm burnt out, and then I end up freelancing for a while. So I freelanced for a while, did some staging after that, and then ended up working for a small boutique hotel in P-Town, and I was their creative director, and that was a really fun job. But again, it wasn't a lot of art. I mean, I ran their retail store and, you know, did events and stuff like that, and then got burnt out from that after a couple of years, and did some traveling. And
but the funny thing now is they say, like, you know, in our parents' generation, like, the way to move up and make more income was to stay with a business for a long time, and now they're like, you should be changing jobs every 4 to 6 years. Which is crazy.
I mean, my dad was at his job for 30 years. All my aunts and uncles, you know, they were miserable.
My mother worked one job my entire life, you know, until she retired.
And that was his advice, was, you know, stay at a job and stay at the same
be
job,
be loyal, work hard.
And
then companies kind of are like, hey, they're going to stay here and work.
Yeah, exactly.
And we don't have to treat them well.
Right, yeah. And who's to say that, you know, big corporations are not going to go under anyway, or you're not going to lose your job tomorrow. And
oh, sure, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know. Everybody, you know, our parents' generation is like, you know, security, security, security. But, I mean, there is no security, I don't feel like.
Definitely not. And I think that started probably, you know, I remember my dad got laid off. He was working in a printing company.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that was like, you know, we came home. He was home when he wasn't supposed to be. And, you know, my mother was like, go play outside. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just not a good day. No. And it was just like, now I just feel, I don't know. Like, and my kids are older, so I want them to, like, I want them to do what they want to do and not be like, well, I need a, you know, full-time job. It's like, well, you do, but you know, you can do something you enjoy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I wholeheartedly believe that. It's just so different now, you know, that there's younger generation that's going to college now. It's like, I mean, it was, for me, my generation, me and my brother and sister, I think we were the first ones kind of in the family to go to college and get a degree. Not that, you know, my dad went to a couple years of school and my aunts did a couple years of school, but it was kind of like a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, to go to college and get a degree. It was like, wow, you know. But again, it was I don't know how they expect 18-year-olds to pick a major. You know, you don't know who the hell you are in the first place.
Like, what I do didn't exist.
Right.
You know? And and that's kind of, like, my son went for, like, a semester, and I'm like, what are you going to go for? He's like, I think I'm going to be a chemistry teacher, which was, like, so out of left field. And I'm like, okay, so you really liked your senior year chemistry teacher is what it is.
Right.
And after his first semester, I'm like, how did you do? He's like, I did okay, but I did really bad in chemistry. And I'm like, oh, what does a chemistry teacher need that for? And so then he dropped out and he's like, I don't want to go into debt figuring out what I want to do. I'm like, that is a reasonable decision. Yeah. You know, like, I don't object to that.
Yeah.
And now his friends are starting to graduate from college.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like, oh, shit, I should get a little more focused.
Right.
Which is good. Like, focus is good. Like, it doesn't have to be on school, but, you know.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I'm grateful. I'm glad I went to college. I mean, and I'm literally the only one, I had, you know, all a group of friends that I graduated with, all with a degree in graphic design. And I'm the only one out of probably eight of us.
Working in a creative field.
Yep.
And that's the other thing. That everyone goes for something and then never works in that industry. So it's...
Yeah. And then you got all this debt. I don't think I paid off my college debt until I was 40.
Yeah.
It's just insane. So this new my nephew, my oldest nephew, Shane, he never really liked school. Mm-hmm. He went to, like, you know, classes and things like that. So he went to a trade school. I can't remember the name of it. Not Cape Cod Community, but one of those, you know, trade schools. And loved it and graduated, and he's been working ever since, and he's very happy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and my, I'm very impressed with my brother and sister-in-law, because if it was back in the day, it was like, no, you're going to college.
Yeah.
And my brother was like, you don't have to go to college if you don't want to go to college, mm-hmm. and didn't force him into it. And he's making money and he's very happy, you know?
Yeah.
The middle nephew loves school and wants to go to college, so go to college, you know? Right. It's just, I don't know, I don't feel like
everyone should have their own, and some of them, like, if you want to be a doctor, you have no choice. Like, you're going to college.
Right.
But, you know, if you want to work in the trades, you've no reason to go to college.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And my youngest went to a vocational high school.
Mm-hmm.
Took, I'm not allowed to call it graphic design, make it all huffy. visual design and storytelling, something. Something. Their graphic design program was more like a printing program.
Oh, gotcha.
Their design was more, like, broader.
Uh-huh.
Again, did, like, a semester of school, was like, this isn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was, they went from, you know, a week of shop, week of, you know, academics, week of shop.
Yeah.
To all academics, and they're like, yeah, I'm not.
Yeah.
That's not me.
Yeah.
And they just got a job at, like, a t-shirt company doing, like, design and printing t-shirts.
Nice.
And, yeah, they love it. And I'm like, yeah, that's...
That's great.
It's a good industry to get into. And,
yeah.
You know, it's...
Exactly.
People are always making t-shirts. And,
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. It's not easy making a living as an artist, but if you can find something like that, I mean, that's great. That was the big argument when I chose my major, because I loved art. I mean, I wasn't one of those kids that sat and just doodled. Oh, I guess I did. I doodled a lot. But I was just, not to sound like, I was just good at it. It just came natural. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's one of those, I hate the word talent.
Yeah.
Because it diminishes the amount of work that we put into it. But I think it's, if you enjoy it naturally, you spend more time doing it, which just makes you better faster.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I was talking to someone yesterday and she's like, oh, I have a trouble drawing skinny people. They all come out, you know, round and voluptuous. She's like, I like to draw those models. And I'm like, yeah, but you're not going to get better at the other thing. She's like, well, I want to take, like, because we run a figure drawing group.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I want to take, like, a class, not just, and I'm like, well, I'm like, not, you should do what you want and you can learn a lot. I'm like, but really in those classes, you do the drawing and then they come over and be like, this is wrong, that is wrong, you may want to try this, you may want to try that, but it's really the repetition of doing it over and over and over and over that makes you better.
I know. Because people will say to me all the time, oh, I can never do what you do. I'm like, yes, you could.
Yeah.
All you got to do is, it's just practice.
It's practice just, and then someone going, hey, the head is five eyes wide.
Right.
And you're like, oh!
Yeah,
you know, it's just like the simplest...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. My thing, because I have been trying to find ways to loosen up when I draw, because I want it to be photorealistic, and that's not how I draw.
Yeah.
So I went from pencils to pens, because once you make a mark with a pen, it's there, and you got to deal with it.
Yeah.
Then I did ink washes, and now I'm doing single line drawings, and it's just like this kind of, like, I find single line drawings fun because it almost gives you an excuse. Uh-huh. Being like, that arm's not drawn to proportion. Being like, yes, but it is one line. The whole drawing. One line. I'm like, oh, it's really good.
Yeah. Oh, I've never tried that.
Yeah, so it just kind of like gives you that kind of like built-in excuse where you're like, it doesn't... I'm not expecting it to be perfect because it really can't be.
Right, yeah.
And I find it really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Do you find now that you're... I mean, not now, but you've always been in the arts, but do you find that you do it less for fun? Or, like, that it's not as fun because it's, like, a work thing?
Yep. That's how I end up going from freelancing back into, you know, a regular job.
Yeah.
Because it becomes, you know, well, I have to do this to get paid.
Yeah.
And then it's not so much fun anymore, you know? And I don't do a lot of for fun stuff for me anymore, unless it's like a gift for somebody or, you know, but yeah, I've that's always been my struggle, is trying to figure out, okay, how do I make a living at this? Because I love this. This is what, you know, I love getting up in the morning and being like, oh, all I have to do is go paint today. How fantastic is that? How lucky am I? You know,
you do have to remind yourself.
Yeah.
Like, definitely. There are days where I'm just like, oh, I gotta do blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wait a second. I'm at a brewery, watching a comedy show for free, getting paid to be here. Yeah. I'm like, my life's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me reframe my bitches and complaints.
Yeah, exactly. Let me just have some gratitude here. Yeah. No, I definitely have to do that sometimes. But it is definitely a struggle. Like, you know, I have to promote myself and try and get more work. And when I don't get work, I don't get paid. And, you know, you obviously have to make money. But I have struggled a lot in the past with, okay, you know, and doubting myself. Like, okay, can I really do this? I'm still doing a little freelance for the guy that I was working for on the side. Is kind of like a, you know, just a safety net backup. Yeah. And I'm like, ugh, should I let that go and just, you know, focus all of my energy on this.
And then it's like, but I need a new muffler now. Great. Right.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah.
And that stuff is always like floating around.
Yeah. I mean, there's other ways, you know, I'm looking into, like, you know, maybe selling art prints or something, you know, but again, you do have to spend a lot of time promoting yourself and marketing. I mean, you can't just put something out on Etsy or on an art print website and expect that it's going to sell. You know,
yeah.
There's the marketing promotion part of it.
And I think that is something that a lot of creative people in general, not just artists, but, you know, authors and musicians and, you know, they'll book a gig and they'll show up at the restaurant and it's empty and be like, well, did you tell anyone you were playing? You know?
Yeah.
And it's not, I don't know why it's not natural for creative people to not promote themselves.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like weirdly how we got where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, I'm like, I'm not the best artist, but I'm kind of the most organized artist I know.
Mm.
And that's just, you know, how we started running events and doing these kind of like pop-up art fairs and stuff. And, they can be, you know, it's still work.
Yeah.
And do you know Adam Savage?
No.
He's from Mythbusters.
Oh,
The dorky one, not the one in the beret.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
He and I'm probably going to misquote him, but he says something along the lines of, if you're working 70% of your time to do 30% of your time something you really enjoy, then you're, like, ahead of the majority of people.
Yeah.
And it's so true. Like,
yeah,
most days I'm sitting in this office by myself, talking to myself, answering emails that are making me insane.
Yeah.
To do something fun for, you know, 30% of that time.
If you can make a living at it, it's definitely worth it. I mean, it's just, I wouldn't go back to, I haven't stepped foot in an office or a cubicle since 2014, and I will never go back.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I got laid off because of COVID.
Yeah.
I was doing marketing for a stainless steel company, which, whew, man, you want to tell people the joys of a stainless steel screw?
Oh, God.
Yeah, no. It was not... And every time something cool or exciting, you know, like, oh, we should tell, you know, this would make a cool social media post. I'd be like, we can't do that.
Yeah. Gets shot down every time.
Yeah. Like, what if they're using our product improperly and we put it out on social media and it means that we approve it? I'm like, I don't think that's what that means.
But, yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's their mentality.
It's that mentality that got me out of corporate forever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know I, sometimes I kick myself if I had stayed at TJX, I would have, you know, making a lot more money and have 401k and, you know, stocks and all that stuff, but my health.
I was gonna say, but would you be happy? Because, like, no, I worked miserable. When I first got separated, I wasn't even divorced yet. I moved to Middleborough.
Yep.
And I started working at Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, like, great, a steady paycheck that I can rely on. Yeah. I was very happy.
Yep.
And then you start moving up that corporate chain, and they were kind of pushing me to go, I think, like, assistant store manager was, like, where my boss wanted me to go.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an open position. He's like, you need to put in for this. And I was, like, miserable. I was having chest pains at work.
Yeah.
And we had started InebriArt, but it was much smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, if I do that, InebriArt goes away.
Yeah.
And I had car trouble that day, and I was walking home from work because I worked at the one in Plymouth and lived right down the street. It wasn't far. It was like a mile.
Yeah.
So I was walking home, and I was just like, I don't want that job. And just like instantly, I felt like a weight was lifted off me. I'm like, there's no way I'm taking that job. It would ruin everything I'm trying to make with InebriArt. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, the money would have changed my life, but not really for the better, you know?
Right. Yeah. No, I could not agree with you more. I've been in the same boat, that boat, 100 times, and nobody understands it unless you're a creative person or, you know, it takes a lot of balls. I'm sorry, but it does take a lot of balls to quit your, you know, when I ever quit TJX, I mean, my family was like, are you insane? What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
I'm like, I was literally vomiting before work because I was so anxious and miserable and unhappy. And it seemed like a lot to give up, but it just wasn't worth it anymore. Yeah. You know?
I agree 100%, and it has ruined relationships for me.
Yeah.
I run into old friends and like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I just do InebriArt now.
Mm.
And one of them literally went, are you making enough money at that? And I'm like, would you ask anyone else that question? Yeah. I'm like, that is the rudest, like,
so rude.
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah, I get it. I've gotten that comment too. Somebody, I won't say who, but when I just quit this last job, they were like, you know, what are you going to do for money? I'm like, do you know how much I charge for murals?
Yeah.
I am working. I'm just working at something that doesn't make sense to you in your brain. I'm an artist. Well, aren't you going to look for another job? No, I have a job.
Yeah, I get the, oh, but so you don't have a real job?
Right.
I'm like, I work my ass off.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. But I get it. I even have a hard time explaining my job.
Yeah.
You know, and I boiled it down to like an elevator pitch, and people are like, oh, what do you do? And I'd be like, oh, I produce and promote events at bars, breweries, and restaurants and create online content. And they go, oh, what does that mean? And I'm like, yeah, it's, and then you start talking to them, and it's you get the interest and fascination, but that kind of like, and I don't, it's not even disbelief, but like just confusion.
That glazed over.
Yeah, like you do something you enjoy and you run it and you make money and you're like, man, like that's.
Isn't that the point of life?
Yeah.
That's the point of life to me. I don't want to be miserable and go to a job I hate every single day and commute and
get up at 4 a.m. to go pound nails into a board for 8 hours. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know.
And I'm not shitting on people that enjoy that, but
right.
There are a lot of people who do it who don't.
Yeah. If that's your thing, great.
Yeah.
It's not my thing.
No.
Yeah.
You mentioned about charging for murals, and you had said the first one you way undercharged.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like artists frequently undercharge for their work.
Yeah.
How did you, like, come up with a pricing?
I just did a lot of research,
you
know, and based on what other people out there were charging. Some people do per square foot, you know, but for me, I won't say I'm slow. I'm just fussy.
Yeah.
So it takes, I mean, the one I did in the Rock Bottom Seafood one, that took me about 2 months to finish that because I was working full time.
Yeah.
You know, at the same time I was working for the...
Oh, so you're working full time
and doing that. That. At, okay, like, yeah, on, yeah, the weekends and the mornings at, you know, at night. So it took me a long time. But really, I just, it, for me, it's my time. And then, of course, you know, supplies and how long. I mean, sometimes it takes weeks to get the design right with, yeah, the client, you know,
yep,
back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So that's all my time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my prices have definitely gone up, but, you know, people seem to understand that, especially if it's a big, massive outdoor, so, or even not outdoor, something on that scale, people are like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Plus, I feel like you're selling to a company that has a better understanding of cost and time.
Right.
I feel like selling art to an individual is a little more tough.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I have not done any, like, personal, private, indoor. I have a neighbor who thinks that their friend wants a mural for their home. So that's going to be interesting as far as, you know, pricing and stuff goes. But now I can say, okay, I charged... This mural that I did was this big, and I charged this for that. And they go, okay, okay. So
you can almost come up with that square footage price.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you have a mural that, like, really sticks out? You're like, yeah, that's my favorite one I've done. Did you do the one over at Quarters Park?
No.
Okay.
No, that's not me.
Okay.
That thing's massive. They had to have scaffolding for that, which I've not done yet. But I don't know. I really like the one I'm doing on the boat right now, even though it's not finished.
Yeah.
But it's very graphic. My style has always been kind of, like, I really like childlike, simplistic, you mm-hmm. know, very bold and graphic. But this one, I think this is probably going to be my favorite one because it's just, it's very bright and it's very bold. There's a lot of black as a pirate and there's a lot of waves and, like, just action.
Yeah, they do the pirate cruises too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. The little kids love the pirate cruises. But honestly, I love the one that I did for Rancho Relaxo, the free one.
Yeah.
It's really super simple. Just, it was only like 3 or 4 colors. I wanted to do more, but I had booked another campsite, so I had to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I did that one in 3 days, and I swear to God, I almost died. Yeah, geez. it was fall in New Jersey. It was freezing cold, but I had to get it done.
You know,
I had to leave, so... I really like that one, too. I mean, I like them all, but I think I'm probably going to like this one, the latest one, the best.
Yeah.
I mean,
which is really the way it should be.
Yeah, you exactly.
You should always like that last one.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many things I want to do. I've been in contact with the Plymouth Chamber of Commerce, the mm-hmm. town hall. Spoke to a woman down there who's in charge of, actually she retired, but she was in charge of, you know, not marketing. I can't remember what her title was. But anyway, they said they're interested in doing more murals around town. I mean, it's kind of surprising. I've been all over the country, and a lot of towns have a crap ton of murals. Like,
yeah.
You've been to Austin or, like...
New Bedford has a ton now.
Right.
Salem has a ton.
Yeah, and Plymouth has none.
Nope.
And the reason...
Well, they have a couple.
Yeah, under the bridge
there's under the bridge. There's one by the skate park.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then this one, like you said, over at Cottage Park.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah, that's a new one. Yeah. But I just feel like it's, you know, America's hometown. There should be murals everywhere, you know? But when I spoke to her, she said it's tough, and I knew this because it's a historic town.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to get something approved is, like, forget about it.
Yeah.
If it's a privately owned building, it's different. But if it's, like, an historic building, and they do want to do it, but it's just, you know, I don't know. They're supposed to reach out to me to...
I think the wall... Right next to Town Hall that goes along the side of Gunther Tootie's.
Yeah.
Is perfect for
a
mural.
That would be a perfect one.
Yeah.
You know the one?
It's not a historic building. Like.
Yeah, that's true. See, I wonder, that's the thing. I've been, like, reaching out to a ton of people.
Yeah.
You know, the guy from another guy who's retiring, but his name is Rob, works for Plymouth Plantation. He came down to Three Hearts Farm
when
I was painting. And was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I want one of these for the plantation. And I reached out to him and he's like, yeah, I really want to do this, but I'm retiring next month. So I passed on your information to everybody here. I was like,
damn.
Like,
no.
Yeah.
Sometimes that works out, though.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. I mean, I've had a bunch of people reach out, but it's everybody says they, you know, they want to do it, and then they're like, oh, yeah, well, then we have to pay for it, and then, you know, there's a dispensary in Kingston that says they want one, and I really want to do one on that brick wall that, you know, when you're driving into Plymouth Center, at that set of four lights, the old post office is right here, and there's a brick wall here and a brick wall here, right before the center of town.
Are you coming from Kingston or South Plymouth?
South Plymouth.
From South Plymouth, there's the what used to be the roast beef place here, the old post office.
Yep, and then that light, and there's a brick wall here and a brick wall here.
It's kind of like the side of setting the space. And
yes.
Yeah.
I think that would be a really cool place to put on either one of those
brick walls. You'd never get it on the right there.
Yeah.
Is that Lydon Street?
Yeah.
That's the, like the oldest street in the country. That kind of thing. So you'll never get it over there.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah, that's the one, like, historic quote. Because I remember when they remodeled that building, they got all kinds of flack about the windows they put in the building.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was the matter of they're metal, not wood. And it's like, no one can tell. It's a second floor window. Yeah. You know, that kind of They're very particular about that street.
Yes. Yeah, they're very particular about... I mean, I get it. It's a historic town, and you can't, you know, change a lot of things. But
yeah.
I just think Plymouth would be so much... It would just be so cool for Plymouth to have more.
It's really tough because it's historic.
Mm.
The powers that be are very much about the history,
mm.
but still not, like... willing to be like, yeah, it's a really problematic history,
mm,
you know? It's
right.
not a good story.
Yeah.
And, you know, they still want to be like, oh, you know, then the Pilgrims and the Indians got along. Like, no, they really didn't. Still don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they didn't land in Plymouth in the first place either. They landed in P-Town.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Well, yeah, this was the settlement.
Right. The settlement, yeah. But yet, you know, you see condos going up every... don't even get me started. You know, tearing... it's everywhere you look, there's a new apartment building going up.
So yeah.
It's just... It's crazy.
It is. It's I do love living here.
Mm.
But it is a weird town.
Yes, it you definitely know? Is a weird town.
It's... it has its... You know, like everything. And it's the same thing with, like, doing art as a career. You know, it's a fun job, but it's... still a job.
Yeah.
You're still going to have those days where you're like, I can't stand this client.
Yeah.
They make me change this thing one more time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have either another mural, like, lined up or, like,
nope.
The dream mural?
Nope. Not right now. I'm hoping to hear from the Plymouth Plantation.
Yeah.
That would be really fun.
That'd be very cool.
Yeah. Nope, that's it. And still waiting to hear back from the town of Plymouth. So, just kind of figuring it out.
So you said this all started from TikTok. Did you, like, do you have a TikTok now for your murals and put up time lapse? Or, like, what do you...
Yeah, I...
Explain TikTok to me.
I started a separate TikTok account for just the murals.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, that's just silly because now I have to do two accounts. So
mm-hmm.
I do have a TikTok account with, like time lapse when they're finished, and then I'll do like in progress videos. But it's just on my personal account, and I have not been very good about like promoting it. But
well, you can share it with our listeners.
Yeah.
At
Better Planet Studio.
Better Planet Studio?
Yeah, and it's the same for TikTok and Instagram.
Okay.
It's at Better Planet Studio. Studio or studios? You would think
that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Because I've been emailing my friend at Salty Duck Studios.
Uh-huh.
And dropping the S, and it keeps bouncing back. And I'm like, I don't understand when my emails are coming back to
me.
So.
Yeah, no, it's Better Planet Studio. Okay. No S. Yeah, on both TikTok and Instagram. Yeah, and it's interspersed with, you know, personal stuff. But all my murals are on there.
Yeah.
You can see them from...
But I think the personal stuff, like, adds to it.
Yeah.
You know, when it's... And part of the whole idea behind this podcast is we get a lot of people who are... actively promoting a book or an album or whatever, and mm-hmm. we really don't talk specifically about it
mm-hmm.
until the end, and you're like, oh, give us your social medias and, you know, yada yada yada.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if someone comes on a podcast and has a conversation, I'm like, oh, they seem really interesting and cool. And at the end, they're like, check out my new album. I'm like, okay. But if they spend 45 minutes going, this is my new album. This is my new album. This is my new album. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of, I think that it makes you more genuine having like that personal kind of.
Yeah. You know, like I said, you get the expert saying, you know, you need to have a dedicated account for these things. And I've tried it and I've started. And I'm like, it's just, I don't know. It, like, to your point, I mean, I'm a person, you know, like this is part of my life, what I do. And these are the other things, the other parts of my life. You know, there's when I was traveling, my camping trip, there's, you know, there's all that stuff on there. So I think it's just, it's more relatable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it's all, you know, one account.
Have you gotten fans reach out about your murals, or have you seen pictures of your murals pop up in weird places?
And... No, not yet. No, no. Although the recent, the article that you saw in the
Plymouth Independent.
Yeah. I walked into my chiropractor's office the other day and they went, oh, Nikki, you're famous. I was like, what? What are you talking about? But the secretary and my chiropractor both were like, oh my God, nice article. A couple people I've walked into places, people are like, oh my God, I saw your article. And that's pretty cool. But
yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean,
it gets weird too when it becomes to like strangers.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was walking through Mayflower Brewery a couple months ago and I was talking to a friend and this guy's like, excuse me. I'm like, what? He goes, your voice. I'm like, what about it? And he's like, you're on that podcast. And I'm like, what?
How cool
and
is
just,
that?
Like, picked up my voice from just like what? And, you know, I've had people stop me at the Thanksgiving Day parade. I was with my kids. And he's like, I don't mean to interrupt. He's like, I just want to say I'm a big fan. I'm like, what? And he's like, a big fan. I love what you're doing online. And I'm like, all right, thanks. And I turn to my kids. I'm like, you saw that, right?
Proof.
Your dad's cool.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Now that they're older, though, they give me a hard time. All, you know, like,
yeah.
We were out to lunch one day, and we're sitting there. And my youngest is like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, why? No one said hi to you in like 10 minutes. Oh. I'm like, it's just because I work in town and I know these people.
Yeah, it was a good burn though.
Oh. My youngest is brutal. Absolutely. And funny.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But thanks for coming on the show. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me.
Led to this and I love talking with local artists. You should come by and figure drawing. It's always a good time.
But I would love to, yeah.
First Tuesday of every month, listener, New World Tavern. $10 cover charge. We provide the artist. You bring your materials, and away we go.
That's
I think
awesome.
Aaron's our model. Our lone male model.
Oh, God, I haven't done figure drawing since college, but I definitely would love to do
That's
it.
What everyone says, you know? And it's like, it's at New World, so it's clothed, but... Yeah. Pre-COVID, we used to do like a quarterly nude figure drawing, and we'll probably get back to that. We just haven't gotten around to doing it. There's just so many things to do.
I know. No kidding, right?
But because there are so many things, really, thank you for coming down and chatting.
Thank you so much for having me.
I can't wait to see the lobster tail. I want to call them the lobster trap.
I know, the lobster tail.
The lobster tails mural.
Yeah, thank you.
So, and tell them I said hi.
I will. So, I definitely will. Yeah.
Cool. And listeners, we'll catch you guys again next week.
And thanks for checking out the show today, listeners. If you enjoyed the content today, you can go over to patreon.com/inebriart to support the show. You can join over there for just a few dollars a month and help us provide this fun content that you just checked out. You can also email us at inebriart.com with your questions, complaints, and concerns. Or you can find us on all social medias at inebriart or at inebriart6 on Instagram. And also don't forget to check out our other shows, Bar Talk Podcast, Old Colony Cast, InebriArt, and all the other shows on the InebriArt Network, which you can find at inebriart.com. Thanks again for listening.